The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
There are times when we need to do acceptance in a lot of things, whether that be you're way behind on NaNoWriMo or you just need to stop fighting and just go with what the hand you're given. Just mixed metaphors, but that's the kind of day it is on I Should Be Writing Season 17, Episode 77?
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.
Anyway, hi there. This is I Should Be Writing, a podcast for wannabe fiction writers, creatives of all sort, and anybody who just likes to hear me talk. My name is Merle Lafferty. I have been a podcaster since 2004 and a pro writer since, I guess, 2013. 2011, if you want to count when I sold my first traditionally published book. And I like to talk about writing here. It is NaNoWriMo, day 16. The goal is there on the video, and if you're not watching the video and you're listening to this and you want to know what the goal was when this aired, it is 26,667. We hit the halfway point yesterday. For those of you who have 25,000 or more, well done. For those of you who have fewer than 25,000 and keep writing, I'm there with you. Personally, it's been a bit of a rough 7 days. I've got a family member in the hospital again, and just, you know, it's like all you remember is the stress you felt, but not necessarily the what you did to make the stress happen? I don't know. Anyway, and if you're new to the podcast right now and wondering what the hell that is on my face, that's a spider bite. Pretty sure. It's some sort of thing bite. Whatever it was, it crawled on my face when I slept and it bit the hell out of me. It's creepy whether it's got 8 legs or fewer or more, and it's on my face. So, that's been fun too. Anyway, welcome. Glad you're here. Charge finds it calming to listen to me. Thank you. That's very sweet. Sam stalled at 10,000 words. Let's talk about that in a minute, Sam. Not specifically you. I'm not putting you on a spotlight here, but we'll talk about that. Shards is under 4,000 words short. Annabelle, 26,200 today. Well done. Sure, it looks bad, but you should see the bite she left on the spider. That's right. Ran away yipping with its tail between its legs. The spider that bit me had a tail. I didn't ask. Daniel, not even to 10,000 yet, but I want to get there in the next couple of days. Taking next week off from work, so I feel like I'll be able to catch up more then. Excellent. Under Pope, got 3,470 total. That's okay. You can keep going. You know, it's one of those things where I know it's a joke that I never, ever finish NaNo, but I want to be... It's like when we did the 5K, if you've been to a Worldcon with me and Adam Rakunas in the past decade, I guess, we try to do a 5K run, and Adam is like about this tall and runs more often than I do, so he kind of takes the lead, and I stay in the back to make sure we don't lose anybody, and I still get my 5K in, and I'm here at the back with y'all. I'm here cheering you on. Keep going. You know, Under Pope, if you end the month with 10,000, that's pretty good. Raven's Creations, welcome. 17K still going. Murder grannies are multiplying. That's beautiful. I'm very happy about that. My nano, I think I told you guys this, but my nano novel also has a murder granny. I'm very happy about that. Fell into a 4-day slump of no writing due to health and finally kicked it and solved one of my glaring potholes that was keeping me from writing. I don't care if I don't hit 50K. I've written more than I have in a long time. Yay, that deserves a yay button. And we're not even to the good news part of the podcast. Yes, plot holes. I probably would have quit like all my other tries before if I hadn't been listening to I Should Be Writing. Thank you, Shards. That's very sweet. And yeah, I had the problem of I really had to get some freelance stuff done today, and I'm not sure if I'm going to count that or if I'm going to try to get some regular words in. I don't have a lot of time because I'm going from here to like the hospital and then back home to do a class at 6 and then a meeting at 7:30. Tuesdays are getting to be really stressful. Okay, so what I'm working on is my working title is Nitro Infused Cold Brew, for my own reasons. And this is my psychological thriller in Stardew Valley. My main character is the person who inherits her family's farm. There are a couple of people that I've invented for the Stardew Valley place because, namely, there just aren't a lot of people in Stardew Valley. And, but yeah, right now I'm even using everybody's name. I mean, it is, like, blatant fan fiction. Using everybody's name just as it is, and then if it ever gets to a point where I'm comfortable submitting it somewhere, I will be doing a lot of search and replace and people reading over just to make sure I didn't have a misspelled Marnie in there somewhere. A key player died and I cannot fix it on short notice. I'm out for this year, starting over. I'm sorry, Star-Eyed Green. You say starting over with the outline, do you mean you're starting over like with NaNoWriMo, or are you going to like just consider the NaNoWriMo gone and you're going to start over when you feel like starting over on that book? Because, I mean, I've done a couple of retcon things realizing that, oh, I think her parents should be divorced. And so, like, I'm going to have to go back and fix all the references to Dad, but that's, you know, I'm still going forward with these intended things. Anyway, my good news is, again, my face isn't rotting off, so I'm proud of that. If you guys have good news, we've already cheered all of the NaNoWriMo people, whether you are at word count above or below. If you're writing, I'm cheering for you. But if you want to put any more good news in the chat, now's the time. And if you have good news you want to give me, and you are listening to this later, then just email me and I'll put it in the next recording. Double good news. I'm a member in my writing group, had a story accepted at Apex, and all but one of our members are going to Worldcon. Awesome! That's awesome. Gabriel, very cool. Starting over with a stronger outline. Great, Star-Eyed Green. If that's what you need to do, rock onward and upward. I made slightly successful marshmallows for the first time. I have never made marshmallows at all, so that's neat. So if you have any more good news, let me know. I need to get talking, because I've really gone slowed so far. Yeah, we are supported again by Scribophile. I realized I did not have that image up. That's not good. Scribophile is where you can go to find a community of writers. You can get beta readers, build a writer's group, find people that are like yourself. You know, it's a good feeling during NaNoWriMo to have this whole community feeling that we're all going through the same thing together. And then December comes and everybody just kind of goes back to their own thing at their own pace with their own friends. And sometimes people need to find a community elsewhere. Scribophile is a good place for that. So, yeah, check them out, scribophile.com. I put the link in the chat, and the link will also go into the show notes. Thank you for the support, Scribophile, and very glad to send people your way. So I titled this podcast Acceptance. And part of it has to do with NaNoWriMo. But another part was, it's silly to say this, but I'm classic ADHD where I get an idea and I want to run with it really far. Or until I get tired. I'm honest with myself, at least. You know, some things like podcasting. That was a whim that I had an exciting idea about, and I ran with it, and I'm still running. And it's 17 years later, so that's good. Glad I did that. But I am a sucker for Christmas romances. Don't really like romances a lot of the other time. I don't like fireman romances or military or ex-military romances or action romances. I like Christmas stories with romance in them, and it's a very specific thing. And I went to Barnes & Noble before I came here to record, and suddenly, I've never seen this before, there was an end cap and two end caps and one table, all with Christmas romances. And I was thinking about the stack of books I still need to spend some time with, like that. And I didn't buy any. And granted, I do have at least two, I think, that I haven't read that I bought in previous years. So I didn't buy any. But I picked one up that looked like it was a nonfiction book about Christmas movies. And there's a podcast out there called Deck the Hallmark. And it's three guys who review Christmas romance movies. And they're like on podcast number 500 something. And I listened to their most recent show and they're like going to Christmas Con in New Jersey and setting up a meetup for all their fans. And, you know, I was thinking about my really, really bad attempt last year. I don't know if the watch party factor of Twitch was still too new, or I just didn't have enough of a solid audience yet, but I tried to do a bunch of Christmas movie watching events, and complete with Christmas romance bingo cards. I was proud of the bingo cards. Those were fun. But it was a failure. Huge. I remember one, I think it might have been Kurt. If you're around Kurt, you can remind me if I'm correct or incorrect. I had one person watching, and I thought, well, all right, I'm going to do this Christmas movie commentary because I have one person watching. About 20 minutes in, he told me that he was international and couldn't get the movie and just wanted to hang out and support me because I only had one person, and that was him. So that was fun. Numbers Ninja and I did, what'd we do? Anna and the Apocalypse. That was fun. But again, I think we didn't have a lot of people, and some of them were their friends from school and they didn't want to be on camera. So their friends from school got tired of, you know, watching me watch Anna and the Apocalypse. And Numbers Ninja, you could tell me if I'm wrong. That seems to be what I remembered. And the one that I really regret I regret that it didn't land or get, I don't think it got anybody watching. I did Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas Watch with Grant Bachoco. Grant is a good friend of mine who started out podcasting old school, like with Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd. And he now does like the Toily Show on TikTok and Saturday morning commercials or Saturday morning television. I forget what his what his company's called. But anyway, he's still doing really cool stuff. But he started out with Dr. Floyd, but he's a puppeteer. And he's toured with Henson doing their more adult-themed shows called Puppet Up. So I wanted the point of view from a puppeteer, and bonus, a Henson puppeteer, to watch Emmett Otters with me. And it was a lot of fun, even though nobody was there. So anyway, that's a very long tangent. I don't know if I'm going to do it this year or not, because I do have more of a regular group, but I don't know how many people like that niche of stuff, or if the Amazon Prime watch party thing is still viable. I don't know. But I when I picked up this book about the Deck the Hallmark guys, I thought, my first thought was, damn, I wish I could do that. I could do that for books. I could just have a podcast where I read Christmas romances all the time and comment on them. And I bet I could find somebody to do it with me. And then I thought, yeah, Mert, you've got a lot of good ideas. And if any one of them were the only one you had, then I have confidence that I could make it a success. But I also have ADHD, and I'm also a writer and already a podcaster on one show and another one on hiatus. And I'm finally to the point where I can accept the fact that, no, I can't do a Christmas podcast. I can't. And it made me sad. I think with podcasting, I still have that pioneer mentality of we just tried anything. No one ever talks about it because I guess they don't want it. But I will shake my old lady cane at the clouds and say a podcast initially meant a method of distribution of a file, not audio. So you could make a video podcast, you could make a PDF podcast, which is what I did when I released my book, Playing for Keeps. I did it serialized, and I did it both PDF and audio. So it's like, just, we came up with ideas and we did them. And now I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, I can't do a Christmas romance podcast. I just can't. I mean, what I'd really love to do is a watch of all the Office Christmas episodes, but I don't think we can legally do that because it's not on Amazon Prime. But I'd watch an MST3K take on Christmas movies. Oh, I'm not kind. No, I'm not kind. I'm very cynical. That's what the bingo cards are for. You know, Santa's real. Suddenly there's snow. Someone's got someone's got a terminal illness and will show you the meaning of Christmas. Contrived meet cutes? Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Then, of course, there's all the romance tropes of hate each other when you meet each other, and one of them is connected to bad corporate group, and one of them is scrappy small business person. Then there's the handsome lumberjack ex-boyfriend. That's my favorite, the handsome lumberjack. Like, I'm from the mountains. Handsome lumberjacks were not around as much as they are in the Hallmark movies. And if they were, they usually were not people I wanted to hang out with. I went to school with people who probably eventually became handsome lumberjacks. Why can't romances just be two people enjoying each other's company instead of snarkily sniping at each other until they kiss? Well, because that's not fun to watch. It's, you got to entertain people, and you've got to have a reason that they can't be together, because that becomes the reason they fight against, that becomes like one of the conflicts. Now, granted, There's a story Numbers Ninja and I really like, called the Christmas List, I think. I can't remember. I'll have to find it and post it. But it's a story about a woman who's dumped on the first day of Advent, or like the weekend before Advent, sometime around there. And she's utterly miserable and tries so hard to get him back. And it sort of becomes a love story, but it's much more of a story of how she finds her own self-worth. It's like a novella. It's short, it's cute, and there is a happily ever after, which is cool, but it does not have the conflict that I just said has to exist. But I can imagine people who really, really love the romance part of Christmases, the romance part of romances, I can see them not liking it because there is little, you know, sexual tension. It really is about the heroine and her various problems in life, including romance. So I recommend that one. That one's always a very feel-good, quick listen for me around the holidays. And yeah, they don't always have to be sniping at each other. There can be the one of them is with somebody else, or one of them doesn't want to get involved because they're leaving town at the end of the year, or like when Harry met Harry, it was about don't want to ruin the friendship, so we have to just pretend that never happened. And so that wasn't really sniping at each other, but it certainly did create tension. So yeah, you don't have to have... I do dislike the ones where you've got like this rich jerk and the woman who pursues him for no real reason that I can identify with. Am I watching A Castle for Christmas for Carrie Elwes? I don't know. Where is that? I must have it, please. Friend of mine linked me to Hallmark Christmas movies to say that, you know, that there's like a site and a listing, and I don't get the Hallmark channel, so that made me sad. Numbers Ninja says, I personally think watching two people share interests and fall in love is interesting, and the love being prevented due to outside factors is much more interesting than they secretly love each other but hide it by acting like preschoolers. Fair. Okay. Okay, I see what you mean now. You're right. I don't like it because what if one of them genuinely doesn't like the other, but the other's thinking, oh, I'm doing romance right. I got into 3 arguments with that cute guy today. I'm almost there. Numbers Ninja, I really need to comment on pop culture with you more often. You're a lot of fun. I cannot with big misunderstanding plots. Oh, God. The misunderstanding ones? Yes. The misunderstanding where you, if you just said, like, a sentence, one sentence to clear things up, that would be okay. And that's the one that really, really gets me. Just purposefully not informing people of stuff that in reality totally would. I love most of the writing in Schitt's Creek, but there's one episode called The Affair, and I don't know, I'm gonna spoil one episode of Schitt's Creek. It's off the air, it's streaming now. I don't think it's a huge plot spoiler because it's not like whole arc. Anyway, so Moira Rose, the fancy movie star turned penniless, a woman living in a hotel, gets on the city council and goes to a local municipal convention with the mayor of the town, who she finds utterly disgusting. And they get drunk and she wakes up fully clothed on top of the covers on his bed. And he's in the bed. But she's like, I mean, there's no question that anything happened. It's like, they weren't even like situated in the any sort of comfortable position that would have led to something naughty. And when they get home and she's trying to explain what happened, and her husband, he's like, yeah, I know you would never do that, but why didn't you tell me about it, etc. She never says, I woke up on top of the covers, clothed. And that's all she had to say. I mean, yeah, it's getting drunk around Roland and somebody she finds, you know, tolerable, but definitely not sexy in any way. I could say that's awkward and embarrassing, but really, it's like, there was just that little piece of information she never said, ever. So yeah. This podcast was supposed to be about acceptance, and I started talking about romance. But you know what? It is relevant, because if you're trying to put romance in your books, you need to think about what has to keep the people apart. Please try to make it something. Something. Not just, I've been hurt before and don't want to get involved. Unless you can play that up really well. A Castle for Christmas is on Netflix, and my wife has informed me that I'm watching it with her. Wow. Well, that sounds like something I need to do right away, but I can't for several hours. I love Friends to Lovers plots. Yeah, me too, Fire Rider. Or the only one bed trope, yes. He wears a kilt! The Rhoda, I just wish I could fast forward about 4.5 hours and I would be on the couch with a glass of wine and Castle for Christmas. And I wish Netflix would do a similar streaming permission thing, but I know they, I don't know if Amazon would let them do it on Twitch. But there's also the opportunity to perhaps queue up a movie and everybody just hit start at the same time and still be just streaming like this. Brooke Shields and Cary Elwes movie in Scotland? God, what more do you need? I'm going to jump to the worst possible assumption and not even try to consider other explanations. Yes. I want to watch Single All the Way on Netflix. I have not paid attention to Netflix, apparently. Another gay romance? Because I was really not impressed with, crap, what was it called last year? It had Kirsten, somebody, the woman who's playing on Diana right now, and it had, speaking of Schitt's Creek, it had Daniel Levy as a literary agent who did not like act like a literary agent at all, and it was a gay love story and a coming out story, kind of, because she was in love with somebody and thought that she was out, her partner was out, but she wasn't, and they went home for Christmas, and she was put into the best friend position, and they're the movie seemed a lot like it should be, they shouldn't be together, and instead one of them should be with a high school sweetheart person. So I was not impressed with overall that movie, but I was really glad that a gay romance came out. So Single All the Way is on Netflix. I will check it out. Thank you for the hydrate, Jasmine. Enemies to Lovers can be done well, but it's got to be dramatic. It's got to have some history. It can't be two people meet, immediately hate each other, and fall in love 2 weeks later. Yeah. Castle for Christmas won't be online until November 26th. A Season of Love is a great romance movie. Netflix has a watch party feature, but I'm not sure how it works. I'll look into that. Happiest Season with Kristen Stewart. I think that's right. And it's a fun movie with I am not on the LGBTQ group, but so they might disagree with me. But I think one person, the romance hinging on being comfortable to being out with your true identity is an interesting conflict for me, but it's possibly because I don't see it that often. But I think it worked really well with the family. That was an interesting part. But yeah. The biggest problem about all these amazing Christmas romance movies is they aren't available yet. Yes. Last year, I was going to go through an intricate, that's right, I had a whole plot planned out, but it relied on Netflix because America was busy taking over small European countries that we'd never heard of, by slowly marrying into those families. So you've got the Christmas prince, I think, where the journalist falls in love with the prince, and you've got the Christmas switch, where you've got a, what was it, Tale of Two Cities? I don't know. People who look exactly alike switch places. And then you've got this Christmas switch again, which is where they just took the same actress and made her play three people, which I'm really hoping we're going to get four this holiday season. Really hope. Last year was also Dashing in December, which was a classic Christmas romance. Andie MacDowell playing the mother of the businessman who wants her to sell the ranch, then falls in love with the handsome ranch hand. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I don't even know if I can call this and I should be writing. Summer's got to be listening to this going, where in the hell do you want me to stop this? Because, like I said, things that... I'm kind of broken this November. I'll just say it. There's just a lot going on that I planned for and a lot going on that I didn't plan for. And I will do my best to get something regular going again. And then I'm taking December off of podcasting. I'll still be streaming. Possibly watch-alongs. But the podcast is going to take a little break while I rethink some Patreon stuff. And, yeah. By the way, if you are a Patreon supporter now, nothing will change. You don't have to do anything. Don't worry. Patreon has a really good system of being able to leave regular, the people who are already supporting you at a certain level if you ever change that level. It's like, that's good. Anyway, does anybody have any questions? I will go ahead and wind this down. If anybody has any questions, if you have... Right, we were going to talk about Sam's thing. Sam, what was your problem? You hit a wall. What was the wall? Help me out here. I'm looking back in the chat. But because I'm back in the chat, I don't know if you've answered me here. Dang it. All right, Sam, I can't find it. If you're still around, let me know what your problem was because I did want to address it because it was really good. And you know anybody who's lurking and doesn't feel like talking or not, that's not their thing, that's cool too. I'm glad you're here. Stalled at 10K. Right. Thank you, Sam. And thank you for speaking up again because I just want to talk about what you can do when you're stalled. There are a variety of things. What I like to do is I like to tell somebody's backstory. And because it's NaNoWriMo, you don't have to make a smooth transition. You don't have to do anything. Just, you know, make a note to yourself that this is going to have to be, this is going to have to be a heavy editing place. But take some of your main characters' defining characteristics, whether they're internally, like they're a complete cheapskate, or externally, like they're afraid of cats, and tell us what created that. Tell us something about their past. Tell us who was important to them in their past. And then as you brainstorm that, you may come up with ideas of, okay, well, their brother was a psychopath who like to put cats in their room when they were sleeping, or cats on their chest when they were sleeping, or something, then, you know, okay, you got a psychopath brother. Can psychopath brother come back to this main now part? There is always, the butt people keep helping me out with, it's very funny. I find it amusing because I had suggested it and then somebody else turned it on me, which is, I'm having to write my freelance gig and NaNoWriMo, and someone's like, well, you could just take what you're writing for your freelance gig and make it a book your main character's writing, or a book your main character is reading, or something. Or it's a blog post your main character wrote. That's how you can slide current writing that's not your work in progress into your work in progress. And it may stick out like a sore thumb, and you'll have to remove it in December, Or it may lead you to something else. Maybe you're just like, maybe this person is a writer. That's interesting. How would that change things? I can move forward with that. When you try to start fleshing out the past, it might make the future decisions you're trying to make easier. Yes, delve into it. Thank you. Also, Sam, you can change points of view. You can change a point of view and tell a scene you've already told from the new point of view, or you can further the story with the new point of view. I find that point of view switches help me out a lot. I had some problems with Solo in that at one point I hit this wall where I'm like, I know it's not plagiarism, but I feel like the middle grade book had already been written. The script was already done. The movie, well, I hadn't seen the movie yet, but I had to tell this story in a way that was not entirely copying two other versions of the exact same story. And I was feeling really, really adrift. And then I realized that changing a point of view and telling the same scene is completely viable. And I think people, especially in tie-in novels, giving a point of view that people aren't expecting is new and exciting. So if any of that helps, I hope so. If not, I mean, you know me, you can, if you got a question, you can email me later. Yeah, if you guys don't have any more questions, hopefully I'll see you on Thursday. We've got a guest on Thursday. I have a lot more email right now than I thought I did. Okay, here we go. Okay, we're going to be interviewing Sarah Leahy on Thursday. She's got a cli-fi novel. I believe it's a science fiction novel that incorporates climate change and stuff. So we're going to be talking about that and hopefully maybe talk about NaNoWriMo in a more positive way. Hopefully rotten spider bite on my face will be a little bit better. You know, we just got a lot of hope going on here. Okay, little side thing about the movie tie-in novel. As I said, the middle grade was done first, and just like they told me, they told him to add scenes to the movie, add some canon stuff that will get people interested to see, you know, to imagine a richer world, especially internally to the people. And there's I believe that the monster during the Kessel Run, the middle grade book has a scene from that monster's point of view. And I was just like, I wanted to include it as well, but that was his completely, only to him, content. This was not like a Star Wars thing that I could have just taken, put in mine. And I was really sad that I couldn't use it, but it was a really, really good scene. But yeah, the big, big tangent, sorry. But if you want to catch this podcast, then check out twitch.tv/mightymer, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to see the blog and show notes, that's merverse.com. If you want to get what is usually a better structured podcast with all of this commentary on the tail end, you can support at patreon.com/mightymer and get extended episodes of almost every podcast I do. So, yeah, you can support me by buying my books, supporting in Patreon or Ko-fi, or just spreading the word. That works too. Or subscribing at Twitch, you know? Yes, to those of you listening elsewhere, the word count goal for today is 26,667. My word count is like 14,900. But I'm still going. But thank you all for hanging out with me and tolerating me. And yeah, you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. find all of this information and more at Merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support.
Doctor Who.